This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
I'm James Petragallo. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for joining me this week, James. We watched Bridget Jones's Diary.
You got me good on this
one. You were a trooper for this week.
Man. Whew. Brutal.
We got Heigl'd once again.
We got Zellwigged right now.
Yeah, we got Zellwigged hardcore. Man. Bridget Jones's Diary was in 2001, starring Renee Zellweger, Hugh Grant, and Colin Firth.
Firth. That's a really tough name. Firth.
It's not that.
He was the guy in the movie with the, he was the King's Speech, right?
Yeah.
Oh, he was really good in that. This, not so much.
He's still good in this. This, the movie wasn't
No, he
good.
Wasn't. He had one face. He never changed emotion. He can't be, it's not a good, even when he's fighting or
okay,
wanting.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Good God,
Let's
people.
Just do our 90-second recap so we can get into this, because James is just to the gills. So the 90-second recap, I usually like to write my own. And I use, IMDb's as a reference. This one was so fucking ridiculous. I have to read it, okay?
Please.
At the start of the new year, 32-year-old Bridget Jones, Renee Zellweger, decides it's time to take control of her life and start keeping a diary. Now the most provocative, erotic, and hysterical book on her bedside table is the one she's writing. With a taste of adventure and an opinion on every subject, from exercise to men to food to sex and everything in between, she's turning the page on a whole new life. That is not the movie that I saw.
Very few of those things happened.
Number one, she maybe was on an exercise bike. She didn't ever talk about exercise.
No, she had no insight. She didn't have any insight as to exercise.
The only thing that she had an opinion on was what an ass. Yeah, the only thing that she had an opinion on was what an asshole Colin Firth was.
That's it. No, she had an opinion on that and pretty much nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, she only exercised ever like once. But anyway, so here's my fun fact for you for the week. This was nominated for one Oscar.
That's shocking. That is shocking.
It didn't say that they won. They were nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role for Renee Zellweger.
Wow.
They were also. I also learned that there's something called the Golden Schmoes. And she was nominated for Best Actress of the Year. And I want to know what else is going on with the Golden Schmoes.
Is this a raspberry type situation?
I have no idea. I have no idea. I didn't have time to look into it. But I'm. Wow. You better fucking believe I'm going to be looking into the Golden Schmoes.
Is it like the worst accents you can imagine in a movie?
Yeah, I guess.
Is that what it is? Like in a bad accent award?
Yeah.
A ceremony for it? Oh, jeez.
So we're starting off BJD, Bridget Jones's Diary. We got some narration over the credits, all right? Sad, lonely woman narration over
the
credits. Okay,
I did not connect the narration to Renee Zellweger. They have this person speaking in a British accent, and they're showing Renee Zellweger walking, and I'm like, okay, what's Renee Zellweger have to do with this British woman? And then they put it in, and it's Renee Zellweger, and I'm thinking, why is she in this movie? Why? Everyone else is British. There are British actresses. I'm pretty sure they exist. Why the hell did they pick Renee Zellweger, of all people?
That wasn't my big hang-up. My big hang-up was in the narration. She says it was her 32nd year of being single. So, presumably, she's 32, all right? Mm-hmm. How early did she expect to be betrothed?
I think,
I don't think I thought about boys until I was about 18, I didn't think about them seriously. So, I mean, I think I would say from 18 on, so that would be however many years single, as opposed to from the time I'm a newborn.
Maybe she's 50. We don't know. Maybe she just looks...
No, well, maybe.
Maybe she looks relatively okay for her age, and she's 50.
We do find out that she is 32.
Yeah.
So, that's just a little bit creepy. Mm. But
I didn't care.
Essentially, what this movie made me happy about is that my mother has never once tried to set me up with anybody.
I assume that's just a British thing. In Great Britain, once you're past the age of 30, you're just fair game for your parents.
I think that's everybody. I think that once you're like, you show no prospects and you like have been single, people start to like, oh, what's going on? As we saw through this whole movie, because everyone's like, how's your love life, Bridge?
Does that happen though in real life?
Or is that just in this movie?
I don't know. Just in this movie. I don't think that happens. I think people.
It happens in other movies though.
Yeah, but that's a movie.
It's so fucking insulting.
I feel like in real life people don't do that. They instead whisper behind the person's back like, she still hasn't found anybody. Oh, poor girl. They're like, hey, you're just having fun, aren't you? When they get to see her.
You're so lucky.
Oh man,
being married sucks.
Having someone love you. Having a good time out there in the world. Yeah, I think that's what's going on. No one's actually. Sorry for her to her face.
I do love the mom because the mom told her that she's never going to find anybody looking like she wandered out of Auschwitz.
That was pretty harsh.
Pretty solid burn.
That was a poof, man.
It was my favorite.
But it's odd because didn't she like notoriously, wasn't this a big deal that she gained weight for this movie, which probably would she gain 12 pounds for this movie?
She weighed 131 pounds. She's not big.
No, that's what I mean. But like, I don't know. I just made it. So she's an Auschwitz. They brought up an Auschwitz reference and at the same time, the point is she's a little chunky.
Oh, okay. Well, so the mom is introducing, so she's trying to set her up with this guy, Mark Darcy, a.k.a. Colin Firth. So she tells him that, Bridget used to run around naked in your paddling pool. And it's like, that's a great icebreaker, though.
That's an odd way to bridge them, I would say. You know,
Bridget them? Nope. All right. So what you were saying earlier, I can't decide whether or not Bridget Jones's or Renee Zellweger's British accent is good.
I don't know.
I can't decide. Because it seems like it's okay. Like, it seems like she does a good job at it, but I don't know.
If she was an unknown actress, it would be fine, but she's not. She's Renee Zellweger, and I know what she looks like, and that accent does not come out of her scrunched-up face. It just doesn't. I'm sorry.
They could only afford one, like, A-list actress name because they spent most of their money on the soundtrack.
Yeah, it did have a crazy soundtrack.
Van Morrison.
Everything.
Chaka Khan.
You name it. Everything. R&B from 70s soul music. It was like really well put together soundtrack. That was impressive.
Yeah. So she...
I think that was when CDs still sold, when people still bought CDs. So if you
still had an album.
If you produced a soundtrack to a movie, people would buy the soundtrack rather than just download that old song on iTunes.
Their soundtrack did win a couple of awards.
It's not like they made it.
No, they didn't, but it won a couple of awards.
That's like someone making a playlist at a party winning a fucking award for that. That's what they did.
It's
they
bullshit.
Put together a playlist of great... Yeah, other people made those great songs, and you just said, yeah, that'd be good in my movie.
Yeah.
Here's a trophy for that.
So, the mom's trying to set Bridget Jones up with Colin Firth. Colin Firth is basically like, she, you know, smokes like a chimney, drinks like a fish, she's foul-mouthed, you know, whatever. And Bridget Jones overhears Colin Firth say that. And so she's like, all right, damn it, I'm going to get my life together. So she starts writing a diary.
So a stranger that she doesn't care for says something about her. And that spurs a change in her life.
Yeah.
Not anything else or everything else. Or, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, is this normal for women? Do you guys get, is this a woman thing?
I guess. I don't know.
She's unstable, right?
She probably thinks that stuff already about herself, like, you know, I got to get my shit together. And then, so a complete stranger said it, and it's like, all right, I really got to get my shit together now.
This is not like every, because they try to make this like she's like every woman, I think, is the point of this, right? Am I
getting
that right?
I don't know, I didn't glean that.
I'm getting this thing like they want everybody to relate to her,
I think.
But she's really an unstable person, just in general.
I think,
also, so it's
well, yeah, of course, we'll get into that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But anyway, one of my big problems was that she says that she wants to lose 20 pounds. Now that's some cherry picking British bullshit, because it should be in kilos. Not honoring the metric system.
That's true.
So unless she's saying, I want to lose 20 pounds like fucking money.
We need to know how the British measure themselves weight-wise. I know they're stone.
They do it in kilos.
They do it in stone, I know, for boxing. If you see a British boxer, they'll announce him in stone. Anyway, 17 and a half stone.
I feel like that's weird.
Yeah, stone is, and stone is like God. A certain amount of pounds. Stone is like, I don't know, 15 pounds or 10, 12 pounds. I don't remember.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I don't know if she weighs herself in stone. See, that's what I mean. Was this a British movie or is this an American movie?
Yeah, it was a British movie.
It's a British movie.
That I'm pretty sure it's a British movie.
That explains the soundtrack because the rights to songs are cheaper in the UK than they are in the US, but still.
Anyway, so she is writing her little diary saying that she wants to quit smoking. She doesn't want to drink that much. She wants to lose weight. And so she's hanging out with her friends, which we have the one girl with like the mousy voice, the vulgar one. And then the gay guy.
It's Sex in the City with the guy being Samantha.
Right? I literally, that's exactly what I put. I said Bridget is the Carrie. And then I said that the gay guy is Samantha.
The gay guy is a Samantha. But Samantha, let's be realistic, Kim Cattrall, much manlier than him, I would say. She, if they whipped him out on the table, my money's on Cattrall. Let's just put it that way.
All right. Kim Cattrall or Hilary Swank?
As far as bigger dick, are we talking about? What's the, what are we getting into here? Who do I find more attractive?
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the voters of America, the Oscar voters, and they've both won Oscars, right?
They have.
She was nominated this one.
So.
Kim Cattrall hasn't won anything or been nominated for shit, I would imagine. She's terrible at everything. She was nominated for Mannequin in 1987.
Well deserved.
Nah, not at all.
So, Bridget Jones works at this publishing house, all right, and we find that she works for Hugh Grant.
Mm-hmm. Great cardboard cutout job running a publishing house.
Disgusting.
Great cardboard cutout job.
Cardboard cutout job.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what the appeal of Hugh Grant is. Does he have to be witty about fucking everything? It's so annoying.
Well, it's weird because normally he's a bumbling Woody Allen type.
Yeah.
And in this one, he's not. This one, he's
Mr. supposed to be so fucking stoic.
He's completely suave in this one, which is very
odd.
But
not really.
No, but he's supposed to be. I mean, for like British suave. Which
yeah,
is
I
like,
guess. Yeah.
There's a certain amount of humility in a British suave.
I don't understand the appeal of Hugh Grant. I just really do not.
I can't imagine. All the women liked him for a while. For like, what, 10 years? It was Hugh Grant season. Boy, they were crazy about it.
Grant season.
For years, man.
He's like British Matthew McConaughey.
In a way. I just don't understand him. And he was married to Elizabeth Hurley.
Oh, yeah, he was married to Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah, when he got in trouble with the prostitute, that's who he was married to. Because everyone was like, he's married to Elizabeth Hurley. Why is he going out with transvestite prostitutes? I don't remember if it was a...
I don't know. Allegedly.
It's not allegedly. He got arrested for it and paid a fine. That is on the books. That is a fact, a legal fact.
I know, but we're not really... do you have that committed to memory?
He was on Letterman.
All right, that's fine. All right,
or
that's
Jay
fine.
Leno or whatever. And it was Leno, I think. And he said, what do you think? Yeah, because that was what changed the late night war. Was it Jay Leno? Okay, that's on another
All right, never mind.
Yeah. Well, any distance we get away from this movie is a good thing for all of us. Trying to get some distance here.
So, Bridget Jones wears kind of like a... She's a little scantily clad one day, right? And so her boss decides that it's a good idea to be like, you appear to be missing your skirt. And then they have like a little bit of playful banter back and forth,
yes,
right? Fucking disgusting.
Yeah, inter-office email banter, yeah.
Disgusting. That's terrible.
Yeah, I thought that was... I don't think that would fly in this country
either. I just don't understand how some people think that they're just so fucking cute and that they can just be like, oh, you seem to be missing your skirt. And it's like, oh, yeah, you seem to be missing your manners. The size of my skirt has nothing to do with what you say.
She reeks of desperation in this movie,
person. Obviously.
Reeks of it, and he reeks of confidence.
Do you not have any fucking self-respect that you can be like, hey, fuck you?
I don't think she does in this movie, no. I really don't. And not at this point, anyway.
Anyway, ladies.
She's beaten down.
Avoid all Daniel Cleavers in your life. If he's telling you that your skirt's missing or whatever, you tell him.
I would have to concur. Yeah.
You tell him where the fucking door is, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he was a nice guy, he would have whispered that to the guy next to him instead and said, look at that. That
Check
would
it out.
A nice
or
guy
he
does.
Would just make a mental note to himself.
Yes.
Check it out. I hope she wears a shorter skirt tomorrow.
Exactly. Really, he's really screwing himself because now saying that, now she's not going to wear any more short skirts because he's noticing and she's going to think
she's going to be embarrassed. I wear jeans every day. Well, I wear jeans every day anyway. I wouldn't be caught dead in a skirt.
I don't feel like he's attracted to her at all either.
No, I think that he just thinks, okay, look at that. She's wearing like no clothes. Anyway.
Yeah.
So they start flirting. Like through email, and then she immediately fantasizes their wedding. Do women do that?
You're asking me if women do that. I think it's in my notes to ask you if women do that.
Oh, okay.
You should know if they do that. I can't tell what in this movie is dream sequence from reality.
They don't do a good job of delineating that.
And everything is shot and acted and portrayed like it's a dream sequence. Everything's like ridiculously happy or ridiculously awkward, or there's
like
no...
Like the dog's like sniffing at her being dead?
Yeah. Was that a dream sequence? Or was... I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm really...
Okay, so do men do that then? Do they fantasize about weddings after flirting with somebody?
No, they don't fantasize about weddings while they have the tuxedo on.
I fantasize about our divorce party.
Well, yeah, but that was different. That's a special occasion for all that would be involved. But
so Bridget Jones has got to go to some opening thing at, you know, for some launch of a book. At her work,
because she's a publisher.
She's like a publishing assistant or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's trying to make sure that she looks good because she knows that there's a potential of going out with Hugh Grant afterwards.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
I guess.
To her, I mean.
So she's looking through her underwear selection, and she's going for the thong versus the granny panties, okay? Yeah. I have a big problem with this. Wear whatever the fuck is comfortable, right?
But she explained why.
Why?
Because she said, if he sees these, I would like him to see these, but then I want to look good, so she puts the Spanx type underwear
Isn't
on.
Isn't the goal so to get the underwear off anyway?
Yes, but she presents what I would assume would be a very interesting problem for a woman to think about of which one do I go with.
Do you guys actually care about that? I just wear whatever the fuck's comfortable.
We don't care at all. We don't care. I would assume some guys have some sort of weird lingerie fantasy or something, but... Most of
That's
us, we don't
That's an expensive fucking
we
hobby.
Just, yeah. We don't want
That's
them
That's an expensive
on.
Fucking hobby because they're not even goddamn comfortable. And then you're just going to take them off anyway.
Yeah, I don't know what guys are into that, but I think they're really...
And they're expensive.
They're wasting time and money.
As I digress. So they're at the party. I have written down here that they always fucking run into Colin Firth. Every single place that she goes, she always runs into Colin Firth.
Yeah, he's everywhere, this Colin Firth.
That's creepy, I think. At a certain point, he's stalking.
He's like Michael Myers in Halloween. Like, every time he's walking, she turns around.
He
comes out from behind, like, the hedges and never smiles. Has a serious look on his face. He might be stalking her to kill her. Stay tuned. We don't know for the rest of the
movie. Yeah, we're not actually sure.
We'll find out.
We don't know what his intentions were. Maybe that's what we find out in Bridget Jones 2.
Oh, no. How many Bridget Joneses are there?
Three.
Wow. How does this stretch to three movies? I don't understand. I don't know how it's one movie.
I actually don't know.
Holy shit. What is she doing? Didn't she find the guy now? What's wrong? Spoiler alert. At the end, she's happy. What happens then? Does it go bad between here and there? What's the story? I don't know.
I've never seen the other two.
Oh, Jesus.
But so both Bridget Jones and Hugh Grant ask Salman Rushdie where the bathrooms are.
Yeah, the author. Why he's in this. This poor bastard. I have no idea.
I think that they work in that building, so they should know where the goddamn bathrooms are. But it doesn't matter, because that's one of the pillars of adulthood for me, is that you should know where every bathroom is, wherever you go, and your access to them. So you should know this place has a bathroom that's open to the public. This one's for customers only, which, by the way, that policy is bullshit.
Well, who wants to clean up some non-paying customers' poop?
If I got to go to the bathroom, I got to go to the bathroom.
No. If you purchase something, poop cleanup cost is factored into the price of that item.
No.
That's the thing.
No.
So other people are
going
to have to pay extra for their poop cleanup because you dropped the free deuce.
It doesn't always have to be poop, but I will literally never go to a church's chicken because I was denied access to a bathroom. I was denied a room at the inn around Christmas time. I had to go to the bathroom and they wouldn't let me go because they said that I had to be a customer.
So now you never have to eat church's chicken again? I think they did you a favor.
I really do. I win.
I think you win. Point Sarah.
Boom. So then Hugh Grant and Bridget Jones go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm. Did she wax her legs before this?
I think so.
Okay. So that was a really weird, like a Home Alone moment when she was waxing her legs. Like she ripped it off and then she's like, that was like what women want with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, it was what women want.
It felt a lot like that.
Yeah, it really was. So they're talking and I guess, so he says, he's like, I think I should take your skirt out to dinner.
Which I guess is a smooth line.
Yeah, well, for a fucking pervert, yeah, it's a smooth line. I wouldn't think it was. I think I need to take your skirt out to dinner and you can come too. I'd be like, all right, see you later.
Well, they have a cheeky little relationship, don't they, where they go back
and
forth?
Yeah, I guess. They're doing a back and forth thing. That's so exhausting.
Every one of these movies, though, it starts like that. All of them. No one can just talk to each other
like
normal
human beings. If you think to yourself, oh, this is cute and we're doing a cute little back and forth, according to all of these movies, I think it's safe to assume that that guy is going to be an asshole and he's going to screw you over in some capacity.
Yeah, well, he's good at flirting, so that's a bad sign.
Exactly, because he's lying to her. You can tell that he's so clearly lying about that fiancé story.
Yeah,
because you're like, oh, all right, weirdo. Like,
that's yeah, okay. We'll get to that, but yeah, okay. He tells the story.
So he tells because he's like, how do you know Mark Darcy, Colin Firth? And she's like, oh, apparently I used to run naked around his paddling pool, whatever. He tells the story about how he was engaged to somebody, but then Mark Darcy slept with her, and then. Not friends
Hugh Grant was best man at Colin Firth's wedding.
Yeah.
They have a past. The past, as Hugh Grant says, dude slept with his wife. Which, obviously, right away, I was like, okay, Colin Firth never smiles, has no personality. He's not seducing anyone's wife.
And he wore that reindeer sweatshirt.
That's what I mean. So I looked at that, and I'm like, no, this is a lie.
Yeah, so full of
shit. That's what I don't get. The whole premise, the whole plot of this movie, the whole thing that ties everything together and makes it all a big weird situation is complete bullshit that nobody believes.
Yeah.
So that's what I don't understand either. That's why I hate this movie.
That's why?
Well, there's several reasons.
I was going to say, let's going to watch it again?
Yeah. No, I don't ever want to. No, I never have to watch it again. I'm going to have to watch 2 and 3 now.
Have to watch 2 and 3. So,
bastards out there.
So they go out to dinner and then they end up sleeping together, right? He sees her enormous granny panties. Thank God we figured out what panties she's going to be wearing.
Yes.
So now they've been having sex for the past couple of days. Her mom calls. This is one of the plot points, is that the mom and dad are going to be getting divorced or separating or whatever.
Yes.
Her mom calls because she wants to go out with some Home Shopping Network. Whatever, dude.
The pitch man on the Home Shopping Network. Yeah, it's like, he's selling like shitty jewelry.
Yeah.
He's selling
QVC shitty jewelry. Yeah, whatever. But he thinks mall he's kiosk pretty hot jewelry. Shit. That's part of the plot, but it doesn't really come up. It's not very prominent right now, right? So
I don't think it's prominent ever. No one.
It is,
who
though.
Who cares? I didn't care about her parents, did you? I didn't
care
about her.
For the dad.
I guess. I thought, honestly, though, the dad seemed like he had some sort of dementia. I think he should have been put in a home anyway. I don't know why they're worried about his love life. He's sitting around acting like a weirdo. I think he needed to. I think he was good to retire from looking for love at this point.
All right, so Bridget Jones and Hugh Grant are going to go on a mini holiday, aka a road trip, right? And so she's like, she's taking it seriously, right? Because she's like, we're going on a road trip.
Yeah.
Because you don't take someone that you're just banging on a road trip.
I guess not. Maybe British standards are different. I'm not sure.
Is that what you think it is? Because
I have no idea.
I'm like, he is even more of an asshole because you don't do that if you don't like somebody.
The whole time they were going, I was barely paying attention because I was 99% sure it was a dream sequence when they were in the car. This is what I'm talking about in this movie. When it's a dream sequence, it's like, who cares? This isn't furthering the plot, so I kind of zone out.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a dream sequence when she's like, has the thing on her head. What is that? Like a scarf on her head and then it blows off.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is just a dream sequence because it looked very silly and very kind of...
No,
but
it's
no,
just
and
she has a very
real.
Silly life.
And then I had to try to catch up and figure out what happened, so I was really confused.
Again, we run into Mark Darcy.
He's everywhere.
He's everywhere.
They're not
He's
even
at
in the same
thing.
Town. They're
and he
out
brought,
in the countryside.
Yeah, exactly. They're out in the countryside. And they run into him for whatever reason. And his boring friend, Natasha.
Oh, they are male and female versions of each other.
They look like siblings.
One. Yeah, it's weird.
That was creepy, right?
Yeah, they're both smooth down below. I feel like they're both
yeah, they're
Barbie
like
dolls.
Pod people.
Yeah, they have no genitalia whatsoever.
But like, yeah, because that really bothered me because England None. Is a really large place. And
yeah,
I was like, how the fuck do they keep running into each other every single scene? He's there.
No, it's like they live in a town with 300 people.
Yeah,
and that's it. There's no place around. It's like the Truman Show.
Yeah, exactly.
Insane.
It's just like the Truman Show.
This town is the Truman Show.
Did the thing that disturb you? This disturbed me a lot. Renee Zellweger says, I hope you know that what you just did is illegal in several countries.
Oh, when they were in bed together?
Yeah.
Yeah, the movies do this all the time, too. Movies do this all the time. They'll just speak of some weird sexual thing they just did. It's all the butt. They're always talking about the butt. There's nothing else they could be talking about.
Yeah.
They act like this.
What else could be illegal?
They act like sex is some big giant palette that you can choose any color of. It's pretty fucking limited, and that they're talking about butt stuff, and that's it. That's what's going on.
Well, what else could be illegal? Butt sodomy.
That's what I mean. It's nothing else in that would be illegal, and like I said, unless the laws of the UK are way different than they are in the rest of the world. I don't know. But I feel like they're talking about some weird butt stuff. I'm not sure exactly what kind. I don't know.
But here's a hint, ladies. If he dodges questions, like when you say, do you love me or do you like me? Do you see this going anywhere? If he dodges the question, that's a fucking red flag.
Here's a hint, ladies. Don't ask that question.
Yeah.
Stop asking it.
Especially after they've only been going out for like 4 days.
No, don't ask it. If he doesn't say it to you, he doesn't feel that way. There's your answer. Stop asking.
That's a good point. That's
Stop
actually
asking
a great
for
point.
Things.
Yeah.
You guys ask and you set yourself up. You're making us lie at that point.
Because
it's either a self-serving lie, or sometimes we honestly feel bad and we're like, sure, we'll say we really like them and maybe we'll like them soon and we'll try and like them. That's honestly
how... Or at least you know that we'll put out.
Or we know that we have you where we want you. Either way, you're putting yourself in a bad position, so stop doing that. Stop asking. He'll tell you how he feels.
Yeah.
He will. To his own regret, because he might not think you reciprocate. We're human too. Sometimes.
Oh, you are?
Sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
But Hugh Grant isn't in this movie. That's the main point here.
No, he's not. So, the whole point of Hugh Grant going on the road trip with Bridget Jones is to go to this Tarts and Vickers party. I'm not sure what a vicar is because
it's a priest.
A vicar is
a church person.
Okay. I did not know that.
Yes,
I knew what a tart was, obviously, because the one lady was dressed up like a stone cold prostitute.
Yeah.
And she was dressed up like a Playboy bunny.
Bridget Jones' father had the collar on.
And
the other guy had like the Pope outfit on.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a religious figure.
Well, yeah. That's fine.
Seen enough British television to know that.
That's a weird party concept. Whores and priests?
I never heard of that before. Is that like cops and robbers? That's I never heard of that before. I said that's one of those things where I said, well, that has to be British. There's no way that's a thing I've just never heard of because we don't have that here.
We can bring it back now because we have the young Pope.
That's true.
We can have a Tarts and Vickers party here.
I don't know. Priests at a party with people dressed scantily over here, that's not a good visual.
We've had a lot
of issues here. I don't know if the English church has had the same type of problems that we've had here, but
yeah,
it's much different.
So Colin Firth is at the Tarts and Vickers party again, fucking stalker. But I thought that what was super, I didn't know how to feel about this, but the orange jewelry man.
Yes.
He says to Bridget Jones, he's like, you and your mother could be sisters. That's kind of an insult to Zellweger.
It's a huge insult to Zellweger, I thought, too. Especially when she's sitting there
Her mother looks 80 years old.
You failed to mention that this party isn't a priest and whore party.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She shows up dressed like a Playboy bunny.
Yeah, so Renee Zellweger is dressed up like a Playboy bunny. I'm sorry, I got so excited about it.
Well, obviously.
I got so excited. I got way ahead of myself. So the creepy uncle didn't tell her that it wasn't a whore and priest party because he was wanting to be pervy with her and whatever.
Yeah, so she's dressed like a human bunny.
Yeah, so she's dressed like a Playboy bunny, just like Legally Blonde.
I didn't see Legally Blonde.
Oh, well, we have to watch that one because Legally Blonde, Reese Witherspoon. Okay, whatever.
Wow. That's going to be brutal.
Anyway, so Hugh Grant can't go to the party because he has to work. Oh, man. But that was the whole point of him going out to the fucking countryside.
Yeah, well.
Was to go to the Tarts and Vickers party, and then he's like, oh, I can't. I gotta go.
Yeah, he's got a lot of important work.
He's got a lot of important work to do because he's got to crunch the figures.
Well, he has a really good cardboard cutout man job. It's so funny, too, because the two guys in this movie that she's got, you know, the two love interests or whatever, are both cardboard cutout jobs. Publishing guy, attorney. They're both cardboard cutout. Just good job. That's it.
But at least one of them isn't an asshole because you went on about being a publicist and how full of shit they are.
Publicists are full of shit.
But wouldn't you rather go out with Colin Firth than Hugh Grant?
Colin Firth's an attorney.
Yeah, so wouldn't you rather... No, he was a...
He's not a publicist. He's an attorney.
He's like a human rights person.
He's a barrister. That's an attorney. He's a lawyer.
But he's a human rights
lawyer.
He's
not a publicist. You said he's a publicist.
No, I said Hugh Grant's a publicist.
He's a publisher, not a publicist. The publisher. He publishes books.
Oh, I thought he was a publicist.
No, he publishes books.
I knew they worked for a publishing house, but I thought he was a publicist. I didn't even know what Bridget Jones did.
That's awesome.
I just knew she sat at a desk. Like, I didn't even know what she did.
Yeah, he's a publisher, not a publicist.
Okay. No,
yeah,
no.
Books.
I thought...
Remember
I knew
all the
they
books
worked...
on a shelf in his apartment?
I knew that they... Yeah, that was a nice apartment.
His apartment's like a library.
I knew that they worked in a publishing house. I just wasn't 100% on what his job title was there. I just knew he was her boss. That's it.
Yeah, no. I think
and she sat at a computer, so I had no idea what they did.
And they never show her screen either. They
no,
just show them,
except for them typing to each other.
Blue monitor. They don't show
that
what she's doing.
Awful Apple monitor.
Yeah.
No, but like literally, they only showed like them flirting back and forth. I had no idea what she did.
Well, they're not really clear on it. I'll be
never really.
They're really not. It's not like you're left in the dark.
So it turns out that you know Bridget Jones leaves the party early to go and see him because she's upset that you know the party didn't go well, and so she goes. There.
By the way, what always happens, she shows up at a party basically in her underwear where it's inappropriate. What always happens in people's dreams? They show up places what? In their fucking underwear. It's a dream sequence. That's the other... When she showed up to that, I said, oh, it's a dream sequence. Oh, the whole trip's a dream sequence. Okay. I
no,
thought the drive was, and then I was... No, this is a dream sequence.
No, this is the actual movie.
That's how shitty
this
movie
is.
It's all a dream sequence.
So she goes there to see a familiar face, right? And so she's, you know, Hugh Grant's, of course, acting all sorts of weird.
Oh, yeah. Evasive.
Right?
Evasive.
Very evasive.
Oof. Boy.
But such a cool apartment. I do want to live there.
I thought it was the office at first.
No,
cool it was because it's like it's got a weird like balcony thing and until she opened the door to the bedroom.
So many books.
It's like a library in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she opens up the door to the bedroom.
You know those publicists, famous for their knowledge of literature. Sorry.
You could be a book publicist.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have to read books to be a book publicist.
You just have to be proficient in bullshit.
Yeah.
You just get books from people.
True.
Of your clients.
Yeah, but you put them on the wall. That's true. But his looked like they were red. And, you know, a publicist wouldn't actually read them because that would be not a lie at that point.
Well, it doesn't look like he's touched those books at all.
Maybe not. You're right. Well, he's full of shit, too. Ooh, maybe he's a publicist publisher. Oh, no.
He's a publisher's publicist.
Oh, God. Watch out.
Okay.
It's coming.
So she opens up the bedroom door because she hears something and she thinks that somebody's there. And so then he somehow fucking is a sociopath and convinces her that nobody's there. But then there's this big fucking bright pink jacket at the front. And that's like, did you not see that on the way in?
Yeah, no, she missed that one completely.
And so then she's upset. So then she bursts into the bathroom to some chick in the bathroom on the bathtub with like a book.
It looked like a restaurant menu.
It looked like one of the presentations.
Oh, maybe. I thought it was a big restaurant.
And it was like covering, so she's nude behind it.
It looked like a big steakhouse menu she was holding. Like, I'll have the, I thought she was going to
order
the porterhouse.
No, it looked like one of the, I'll have the porterhouse and baked potato.
Yeah.
But she's from New York, and it's funny because she's the only person that we hear that has an American accent. And it sounds weird.
It does sound weird. I don't know what, then she never speaks for the rest of the movie, luckily. Again,
Thank God. We never hear her again.
All nice British accents for the rest of the movie, and then Renee Zellweger.
Yeah. So then Renee Zellweger's all upset because she's only been dating this Hugh Grant for like fucking 4 days, right?
Yeah.
And so she's all upset, and so she's watching, what was it, Fatal Attraction?
Yes, yeah.
She's watching fucking Fatal Attraction, and then Lyons having sex.
Yeah, it was all...
That was weird. What is British television?
It was 2001 also, so they used to have like Discovery, like, you know, nature shows on. I don't know if they do that anymore, if
Gross.
It's just reality.
It's like, oh, the male penetrated. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, the coitus is brief. I was like, what the fuck is
they
going on?
They said penetrated on
they
television.
They did say penetrated.
And then, it wasn't an episode of Law and Order.
No, definitely. Well, then she goes back to work with Hugh Grant after that.
Well, yeah, so she goes back to work with Hugh Grant and she goes into his office and he's trying to be a snake and be like, listen, you know, I'm really sorry about that and blah, blah, blah. And then he chooses then to be the time to be like, you know, hey, by the way, we're engaged. What?
Not before he told her, he told the Zellwigster how great this other girl is. He basically said, look, she's way better than you, I have no choice but to marry her. You know, I don't want a commitment from you because you're terrible, but she's fantastic.
And in the bathroom, the girl goes, I thought she'd be thinner. What?
You said she was thinner.
Oh, that's right.
I thought you said she was thin, I think you said.
Yeah.
You said. Yeah.
So she knows that he's banging Zellweg, yeah. And then she's like, yeah, sure, let's get hitched. What? Yeah.
It feels like this is, okay, I thought about this. They had an arrangement. He was in L.A. He was in London. She was in New York. She knows what kind of guy he is. And so she said, hey, guess, you know, you can go do your thing. Go out. You find yourself a girl. You just tell me about it always. And he actually was like, okay, I can cheat on people, but I can tell her about it. So I feel like he was banging Zellweger.
Scumbag.
Telling broad in New York. And she said, well, what'd she look like? And he described her. And then she sees her. The New York lady sees Scumbag. Zellwegster and says, I thought she was thinner. I thought you said she was thinner.
So, scumbag.
Yeah. They were probably had some sick, perverted thing where they talked about her while they
disgusting.
Did things to each other. It's gross.
Most likely illegal things.
Pooper
illegal
things.
Illegal things after 4 days.
Oh my God.
Have some fucking respect.
Awful.
Wow. So good for you, right? So it's so funny because, so she quits and he's like all upset about it.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You think he'd be like, got that one out of here. Perfect. Now I can bang the
He's like, well, actually, you need to give me a 6 weeks notice. And it's like, actually, no, I don't.
She must be very important around the office.
But she's not. I think that he just likes the idea of, like, you know, just in case New York mm-hmm. girl goes back to New York, he can still have his fucking side piece. That's disgusting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what she was to begin with her, with him. That's what, now, here's the thing. He could have just been honest with her.
Yeah.
And said, like, look, you
another
know.
Another opportunity.
Well, no, when she started saying her feelings for him, that was an opportunity for him to go, oh, like, I don't know what you're, you know, what you think it is. He knew that his fiance was coming back.
Yeah.
He could have just said, look, I don't know what you think this is, but I'm just having fun. I'm actually seeing somebody else too. You know what I mean? They're in New York, but you know, whatever, we have this relationship. He could have just been honest with her and it would have saved all this trouble. She would have said, oh, well, I don't know. I like this. And they would have worked together probably.
Yeah.
And after 3 weeks, it would have been less awkward and everybody would have been fine.
Yeah.
The dishonesty,
goddammit. So Bridget Jones is all upset because she just learned that Hugh Grant is actually engaged and, you know, that I guess she loved him. I don't know.
Who you can't
But anyway, so she decides, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to write more in my diary.
Why?
And whatever. So Why she's going to the gym and then she starts looking for a new job.
What is it with the diary?
I don't know. I've never written in a diary. Okay. I had a diary when I was a little kid, and I always forgot to write in it. So I'd always write, like, the next day, like, for yesterday. And I was like, today was a good day.
Okay.
And then I would always forget about it.
Guys just get drunk and play fantasy football, so I didn't know why that was.
No. I never understand, like, I guess maybe that's why I'm insane, because maybe, like, a lot of ladies, they, like, write out their feelings in a journal or something. I just don't do that. Yeah. I'm Irish. I repress and internalize.
Okay. I feel like the journal would make you crazier anyway, because then you're essentially talking to yourself. So I feel like that can't help.
I already do that.
Yeah. I feel like it's more formal.
I already do that a lot.
It's more formal on paper.
That's true.
You say it out loud, it can be denied later. If you wrote it, it's
I didn't say that to myself.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, good for you, BJ. You're going to look for a new fucking job. She starts applying for television. Okay, here's what I love. I want to move to England and get a job there because apparently you don't need to have experience at anything.
Yeah,
you can,
like,
just go be a TV person.
She was basically just a low-level person at a publishing house, and then she's an on-air TV personality next thing you know.
Yeah.
They're like, sure, we'll hire you. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why?
And the guy,
based on what?
The guy who's hiring her, you know, for Sit Up Britain, he's like, why are you looking for this job? And she goes, oh, because I shagged my boss and I got, you know.
I had to leave.
And then he's like, oh, you don't get sacked for shagging the boss at Sit Up Britain, and that's principal. I was like, I would not work there at all.
That's really crazy. Was she, I don't feel like she was in journalism at all. I don't know why.
I don't know why she even applied for a television job.
It makes no sense. I really don't understand.
So it was really offensive how they kept highlighting, like, how fucking single Bridget Jones is, because now she's going to this multiple married couples dinner.
Yeah, she's the same.
And she's the only one. And somehow she's supposed to be representative of all of the single women in the world, because they're like, why are so many women in their 30s still single, Bridget? Because you're the voice of that population.
Yeah, she's got a dissertation all ready to roll.
I've been studying this for years, actually.
My senior paper was on...
Yeah, like, she wrote a fucking dissertation about
it. So strange.
So I didn't understand, but fucking Natasha, man. Colin Firth's sister.
Oh, yeah.
Sister girlfriend or whatever wife. The hell
yeah,
she is.
Yeah. Is.
She's like, oh, you're not in your bunny costume. It's like, fuck you, lady. That was a party and it was supposed to be a costume party. And
yeah.
Just because your frigid bitch ass didn't get the invite. You didn't get the original invite. I got the original
invite. I want to see Frigid and Bridget throw down.
Frigid Jones's diary.
Frigid Jones's diary. She's not frigid. I'll tell you that one.
No,
she's got love to give. Her heart is warm.
No, but Natasha is frigid.
Oh,
Jones.
Yeah, she is. She is. Yeah.
I would love.
Closed up tight like a cave.
Because she wants to be with Mark Darcy, right? Because she wants to be engaged to Colin Firth.
Yeah.
So then he dumps her, right? At the end, spoiler alert, he dumps her.
Come on.
The spinoff should have been her diary where she goes
Who?
To the gym. Frigid, the, Natasha.
Frigid, yeah. Natasha, okay.
So then we could make the spinoff Frigid Jones' diary.
That would
diary.
Be excellent. Her diary would be super boring, though. It would just be very boring.
Today I woke up at 5 o'clock and I went to the... I had one egg.
I drank tea and looked upon the river. I think that would be it right there. They'd be like, okay.
I folded my laundry and ironed my underwear.
But by the way, the diary, she... We'll get to this at the end, yeah. But I have questions about the diary here at the end of this movie. We're getting there.
Yeah. So, again, Colin Firth's at the goddamn dinner. Again,
he's everywhere. He is the man.
And so Bridget Jones gets up and she's like, okay, I'm too single for this party.
Yeah.
Too single for this. Too single, too furious. So she leaves. Colin Firth chases after her. To tell her that he likes her exactly as she is. What a weird turn of events.
Yeah.
He seems to be on a date with Natasha, but he also wants to tell Bridget Jones how he feels about her.
Why, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's what I'm curious
about. So he's kind of an asshole, too.
Is anyone not an asshole in this movie? Is there a character in this movie who's not a complete asshole besides maybe her father?
The dad, I was going to say. The dad's not an asshole.
Maybe the dad. He's just got dementia. So you're either an asshole or completely loopy in this
Salman
movie.
Salman Rushdie wasn't bad either.
He was fine.
He told everybody where the bathroom was.
That's it. He didn't speak much, but he did have knowledge of the bathroom.
After that party, and then she tells all of her friends, he says that he likes me exactly as I am. And it's like, what? So she was just talking about how much she hates him.
Yeah.
And whatever. And then now she's like, well, he said he liked me for how I am.
Does that make him okay?
Does that make him okay? I was wondering, does he get a pass now? Apparently he's such an asshole. He doesn't smile once.
He
shows you zero
smile.
Warmth.
No, there's no warmth in this
whole movie. And he's just like, oh, I like you just as you are. It's like, okay, you weirdo. Like...
Yeah, he's the whole movie he plays like someone who's very close. I feel like all these other characters are in this movie, and his character is going on a journey where someone close to him, very, very close to him, just died. And he's trying to, like, recover from it. And
he always looks like he's tucking in his bottom lip, I'm going to start crying.
There's something else going on in his mind that no one else knows about. I'm a little worried about him.
Well, me too, actually, because he's following Bridget Jones everywhere.
He is.
So she's got this one story that she's going to get, you know, being her TV journalist self. And it's like an impossible story about, you know, this like incredible love story. This guy is going to get fucking deported and whatever.
It's not even an interesting story.
Matter.
Yeah.
But apparently it's a big deal.
Huge story.
So the boss, the TV guy, wants Bridget Jones to cover the story, and so she is not able to cover the story, and the camera guy's like, I don't know if anybody got an interview. Fucking Colin Firth is at the goddamn store where she's at getting cigarettes.
Again.
Anyway, right? Yeah. Looking like a fucking mortician. And then...
It's court. He's dressed up in his court gear.
I know.
He's a barrister.
But he looks like a mortician.
He does. It's a weird outfit.
Let me have this.
He's got a crazy, like, ruffly ascot on.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
So he's like, oh, what a coinkydink. I was representing those people. So let me give you the most unqualified reporter the best story in town, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
And then she's got the confidence of, I don't even know what. She's like, oh, I'm going to go to the farmer's market. I'm going to take on a 3-course meal for my birthday.
Yeah, she cooks for other people
also,
on her birthday.
What kind of asshole friends does she have?
Yeah, what, she has to cook for them on her birthday? Is that a cultural thing? I don't know. See, anything I don't understand like this, I'm chalking up to it being British. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
And then, so the mom calls her up to complain. Doesn't even call to wish her happy birthday. She's like, oh, my boyfriend sucks. That whole thing. Right?
Yeah.
So that's, we're updating you on the mom and dad divorce thing.
You didn't care. And neither do we.
I did. I was very sad for the dad. He was sad.
He doesn't even know where he is.
He doesn't have dementia.
He does. He thinks it's 1968. He has no idea what's going on.
Also, Bridget Jones, maybe exercise and like reading all those self-help books about like what men want or whatever. Read a fucking cookbook. She's a terrible cook.
Yeah, she's not great.
And how hard is it to cook British food? It's all slop.
Just boil it. And of course, you boiled something. That was,
yeah,
they lived up to the stereotype.
You boil a meat and then you just slop something together.
Yeah, she made blue soup, which was, I don't know, was that an
Alfred
Hitchcock
reference? I don't
know what she was attempting. Was that an Alfred Hitchcock reference?
Oh, I didn't even put that together.
Alfred Hitchcock, if you don't know, used to have parties where he would do things to fuck with his guests. And one of them was he would just serve all the food would be blue, but he would not say anything about it. And he would do it just to see if they were too stiff to mention, you know, what's up with the blue food? And he said no one would say anything ever.
Really?
I
wouldn't be able to help it.
Because like the polite British society like that, he thought that was hilarious, Alfred Hitchcock. And he liked to fuck with people and push the limits of their politeness.
I wouldn't even
basically
be able to help it. I'd be like, why is this blue?
Absolutely. Yeah, me too. I'd be like, dude, what's up with everything's blue? This is crazy. Is this like any reason
is this
for that?
Theme?
Yeah.
Did I miss something?
Dude, what's going on? Is it Easter? Is it like a robin's egg? What are we doing?
So Colin Firth comes over to her house while she's cooking to save the day. What a fucking creep. He even just shows up at her house uninvited.
Well, with the article that he helped her land about
so
the
what?
Interview.
So what? Wait until... Call first.
Yeah, I agree. It's 2001, though. We don't have not everyone has a cell phone. So this is not the time of, hey, I'll text you when I'm outside.
They did have dial-a-lift, though.
They did. But, I mean, this is the time of sometimes you just stop by because you weren't near a phone.
That's true. Kind of like in Deadwood.
Yeah.
You show up and you hang out there for half of a day. Where the hell were you?
Yeah, exactly. I waited 8 hours for you. Oh, I didn't know. Sorry.
I came here from Montana, you bastard.
I was here all the way from Custer City. What's wrong with you? Oh, God.
I'd be so pissed. I'd be not good in the 1800s.
Son of a bitch.
I got here for 30 minutes and I'm not waiting any longer.
I think this is the second episode in a row of Deadwood references.
Deadwood's wonderful.
This is just going to spin off into a podcast about Deadwood, I think.
Yeah. So she's making dinner for her friends and Colin Firth now because he's over there. And then all of a sudden, fucking Hugh Grant shows up uninvited as well.
Was he a little tipsy too? Seems
I guess
a little drunk,
he did seem
like,
drunk.
Kind of aggressively.
Well, because he just got dumped.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I
figured.
So
he's fresh off the dump, right? Yeah. I was so fucking pissed because he says, I thought you'd be on your own. No, listen here, Hugh Grant. I'm going to the gym now. I'm on TV.
Yeah.
I got blue soup going. Leave me alone. Yeah, I'm done. I've moved on from you.
Yeah, he's
very cocky. Everything's coming up Zellweger, right?
He's very cocky.
Yeah, so he just shows up. Well, sociopaths like that are.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to convince her, like, oh, my fiance dumped me because I couldn't stop going on and on and on about you. And, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Hugh Grant. You're insulting my intelligence.
Yeah, and she kind of falls for it
a little bit, though.
She's leaving the door open. She didn't tell him to get the fuck out right now. She talked to him. She took him in another room. She almost messed it up with Firth.
I think I would have totally been like, get the fuck out.
But bottom line, doesn't matter how it happens, Firth and Hugh Grant start to throw down and have a goddamn upper crust British guy in the street fist fight, which is, I'm not saying that British people are all, they're not, you know, they're soccer hooligans that get drunk and fight each other all the time. This is two upper crust, cardboard cutout job, professional, you know, fancy schmancy guys fighting each other in the street, which makes me insanely happy.
Yeah.
This was my favorite part of the movie.
Well, he goes, all right, Cleaver, outside. And I was like, ooh, here it comes.
Yeah. I expected him. I didn't expect a fight to happen. When
oh,
he said
I
outside,
totally
I expected
knew.
Him. Now, see here, sir. And then give him a good piece of his mind.
Do you bite your thumb at me, sir?
Good day, sir. And then he walks away. That's what I expected to happen. I didn't expect an actual fist fight.
So they fight, and Zellweg gets all pissed off at Colin Firth. She's like, what's the matter with you? Right? Which I was like, she wants is one of them to give a shit about her, and they both just had a fucking fight in the street over her.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd think that she'd just be tickled. that happened to her.
You would think she's been wanting attention the whole movie.
Yeah. And then Hugh Grant says the fucking worst. I wanted to punch him right in the shardy teeth or whatever the fuck he's got going on there. He says, if I can't make it with you, I can't make it with anyone. Fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Please sit down, sir. He's That's disgusting. Maybe I'm Bridget Jones. I weigh 131 pounds, all right?
Maybe he is a publicist.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Maybe he is.
We're going to have to look at that. So now we're at, they're watching, I think, New Year's or maybe Christmas, whatever, the dad and Renee Zellweger. And I love that she says, I'm going to Bedfordshire. I'm always calling bed that now. I'm going to be like, I'm going to Bedfordshire.
Is that what she meant by that?
She said, I'm going to bed. She made a joke. You missed the joke?
I thought that was some town she had to go to in the morning because she's British. I have no idea.
No, she said, I'm going to Bedfordshire.
I was like, oh, Bedfordshire. That must be outside of London. I had no fucking idea what that meant. Okay.
So the mom shows back up and she has dumped her QVC Home Shopping Network boyfriend. And she's like, hey, so I know I really screwed the pooch on this one. You can take me back? And then he's like, I don't know. And she's all upset with him about it. And it's like, no, you didn't just get to fucking run around and do whatever the hell you want.
Make me
sit here.
Maybe he should go fight the guy in the street. Like you, Grant.
That would have been funny. By the way, I would have liked that.
They went through a plate glass window in that fight. Did you see that?
A shard
of that glass came down like a guillotine. Watch it. It literally, if one of them was still in it, it would have taken a limb
they
off.
Should have
I'm
been
not
bloody.
Even kidding.
Bloody? Did you see that cake?
They should have been in the hospital, both of them.
They
recovering
should have totally
for a
been
week.
In the hospital.
Can't go through a plate glass window.
Did you see that fucking Parthenon cake that they made?
Yes, I thought they were going through the cake.
I thought that they were too. I was like, oh, that cake. I thought, number one, I thought that guy was going to drop that cake. And then I was like, oh, here it comes. And I was gonna be like, nah, and then the Greek guys join in on fighting them because that probably took them 6 hours to make that goddamn cake.
That was like a writer's trick because when they showed the cake, I in my mind envisioned like guys walking with a big plate glass window and something going through it like in a cartoon.
Yeah.
And then 2 seconds later, they go through a plate glass window. So I felt like they were like, here's a little writers trying to amuse themselves.
Yeah.
Ugh, jerk-offs.
Jerk-offs. So the mom ends up, the mom and dad end up getting back together. No problem. Everything's just back to normal, right? But the mom and the dad getting back together, I think that the whole point of that with the writers is that the mom's like, oh, so Mark Darcy's going to be there. And she's like, oh, I don't give a shit. He sucks.
Yeah, just to get the mom back in the house to have a conversation with her. Yeah.
And then he's like, well, his best friend at college ran off with his wife. By the way, she calls because I guess Colin Firth was married to a Japanese lady.
Yeah.
They always talk about what a cruel race.
Yeah, well, they're all...
I was like, oh my God.
I think old British people are racist is what they're getting at.
Okay.
I think that's what they're saying.
All right, because I was like, whoa.
Which, I mean, all the colonies they had and they, oppressed all of India. I think they were pretty racist.
It was getting
back
a little stuffy.
Day,
so I was like, oh.
Yeah. That was
okay.
A little weird. Yeah.
So they go to this party, right? It's the mom, the dad, and whatever. And it's at, I guess, Colin Firth's parents' house or something like that. Mm. So Colin Firth is at another fucking party where Bridget Jones has to be.
Yeah. But she showed up to find him, I feel like.
Yeah, right? Well, they knew that she's like, oh, Mark's going to be there. And she's like, no, it's okay. I don't want
to
go. And
then the mom tells her
what actually happened. And so then now they're all going.
Tells her that you, Grant, banged his wife, not the other way around.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Which I don't know.
We all thought that from the beginning.
Yeah.
I thought that immediately. So I don't know why she never thought that either.
Yeah, and I don't know why she never asked, like, hey, how come you're so weird with...
Yeah, what's the deal? Why don't you guys get along?
Yeah. I get why, so she asks Hugh Grant that, but, as a woman, you ask both sides. Like, we're nosy people.
Yeah.
I ask everybody what their side of the story is.
She's very polite.
I guess.
It's politeness. It's not her place.
So she goes there, I think, to tell Colin Firth, listen, I'm really sorry. I like you. Sorry I chose Hugh Grant over you. I don't know. Whatever, right?
Yeah.
So we find out that Colin Firth is going to be moving to New York.
Yeah, for some partner in a law firm, some crazy, insane job.
And then he's also going to be marrying his sister wife.
Yes, he's going to be marrying Natasha, the boring, whatever the hell she is.
The boring bowl of oatmeal.
That's a great way to put her. She is human oatmeal.
Yeah.
Human oatmeal. No fruit in it or anything.
Yeah,
just human oatmeal. Plain.
She's just plain oatmeal.
Plain. No brown sugar. However you like that oatmeal, that's not how she is. She's just, you take a spoon and you on a plate and that's her. Boom.
She's some school cafeteria oatmeal.
Yes.
So now Bridget Jones has the worst luck with men, okay? So far, both guys that she has liked has been unavailable and engaged.
Yeah.
But both of them have called off their engagements for her, so...
Engagements come and go like nothing in this movie.
Yeah.
Like the wind.
So, I mean, she really should be quite pleased with her luck, though, because they've both been engaged, but... They have both gone back to her.
That's true. They always end up back at the... Well, she does...
She's really not that unfortunate.
She'll do butt stuff. That's why. We've known that about her. She'll do lots of weird illegal butt stuff, and they keep coming back. They're like, I can go find somebody else, but I know she'll do that
Firth
weird thing.
Well, Firth hasn't done butt stuff with her yet.
No, but he knows. He can sense what he's got over there. And he's so weird and stoic, I feel like that's all he thinks about is butt stuff.
He does look like a serial killer.
Yeah, I feel like he's like, I'm going to do weird stuff to her butt. I think he feels... Yeah.
So she finds out that they're engaged. So she asks Mark Darcy to go in the other room because she wants to tell him, hey, I like you, whatever, right? And so then she goes back and now she's sad again at her apartment. That's how it always ends up. She's always back and sad at her apartment.
Watching TV, drinking booze.
Yeah, that's very true. That's all she does. So... Her friends come by and they're going to take her to Paris so that she can forget all about Mark Darcy, right?
Yeah.
And what's actually really funny is that, you know how I always say, like, whenever I'm trying to rush you out of the house, I always say, come the fuck on, Bridget?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that from this movie. He's like, come the fuck on, Bridget! Like, you know, whatever. I think it's hilarious.
Jesus Christ. My God, that just cheapens our whole exchange.
No, it's
terrible.
No, it doesn't. It makes it better now that you know. Now we can both say it to each other.
No, I'm not. I won't say anything. Anything that has anything to do with this movie, I'll be avoiding like the plague the rest of my life.
So Mark Darcy shows up, or Colin Firth shows up while she's going to fucking whatever. So, conceivably, we're supposed to believe, as the audience, that he flew directly from that party to New York, then back to England.
Yeah, they show him getting off a plane, like at Kennedy Airport, getting in a cab, like he's in New York.
We're supposed to believe that he left after the party that night, flew to New York, and then flew back.
Yeah,
it's like a 12-hour fucking flight.
And left Oatmeal Girl there, too. He has no need for Oatmeal Woman anymore, either.
Yeah, so she's gone. Natasha, the Oatmeal sister wife, is gone.
Gone.
Okay, but we don't know where she goes. So the only thing that Bridget Jones asks is, so you're not going to New York, you're going to stay here. But she never says, like, and then what about the bowl of oatmeal?
I think that's
implied?
That's implied.
I'd ask.
Because she was moving to New York, too. Because she's also an attorney.
I'd ask.
I get that, but I think that maybe she was trying to keep it not to bring... Because you bring up the bowl of oatmeal, that just brings the whole proceeding to a halt, I think, at that point. Any sexual energy you guys had going on is killed dead by the oatmeal woman, I feel like.
So the friends came there to take her away from, you know, Colin Firth and thinking about Colin Firth. But then when Colin Firth shows up, they're like, all right, see ya.
Yeah, but what? He gives up this job for her?
Yeah.
Her? Like Arrested Development, her? What? Like, if I was his friend, I would strongly advise him against this. She is flaky at best.
Yeah.
She's unstable.
No.
She's a crazy person.
Lot.
She's an alcoholic. She's crazy as fuck.
Yeah, this is she not, has word vomit all the time.
Nice girl if you want to date her.
Oh, no, I have seen the second Bridget Jones because she continues the word vomit in the second one.
Well, I feel like that's her character. That's her brand, word vomit. That's what brings all the people to the theater right there. They need to see Renee Zellweger stutter in British, I guess. Stammer and stutter around in British. Ugh.
So Bridget, they go upstairs, and then somehow I think she's going in the other room to change.
Yeah.
Right? And so then another fucking journal is read. Colin Firth reads her diary.
Is she planning on publishing this diary?
I don't know.
She puts a title inside of it, like in the front cover.
Women like to title things.
Is she? I feel like she's planning on publishing this, which I thought the movie. I was surprised it was over because I thought for sure that she was going to go make Hugh Grant publish it. I thought that was going to be the time.
That would have been awesome.
Like, she was going to give it to him.
No, that would have made this movie so much better.
Yeah, she's going to say, like, I'm going to name you in this if you don't publish it. If I take it somewhere else, your name's going to be in it or something.
He that would have been ultimate vengeance.
All right, fine, I'll put it out.
And saying that she's going to, working with him, she'd rather wipe Saddam Hussein's butt.
But, like, because she's writing what I feel like she's writing a book the whole time where she worked for a publisher. So I feel like there was a connection she was
going to
get that published and then be like an author that all the other women looked up to as like this girl who was honest about her feelings.
Yeah,
like that's what I thought we were going with. Instead, we're just she's nope, just going to bang a boring English guy. That's it.
Hers is called Eat, Drink, Love.
I had a way better plot for her. I had a way better ending
for her. Yeah, that would have been a way better ending.
Way more empowering, too, right? She's just sad, and now she found a boring
Fuck
guy.
Fuck you, Hugh Grant. Yeah.
Dude, all right, I'm going to rewrite this movie.
We're going to rewrite this movie.
We got it.
We're also going to make Frigid Jones's diary.
Frigid Jones, yeah. Which is the other
one. He read her diary, and she, of course, always talks about what, like, so number one, she leaves it open, which I don't know of any woman. Diaries usually have passcodes. They're already, they're always like on somebody's person.
This is a 300-page diary. He opens to the one page in the whole book where she's talking shit about him, of course.
Well, no, because he keeps turning the pages and he sees that she keeps calling him an asshole. And then he's like,
well,
right.
Well, that's true. They run into each other everywhere they go. So yeah, she would have seen him enough to write about him.
Yeah, he pops up enough. So she says, like, okay, he's an asshole, whatever, and then he's just like, right, and then he just leaves. Mm-hmm. Now Bridget Jones comes out in her underwear.
Chasing him.
And she's like, and she looks and she sees that her diary is open to a page where it says Mark Darcy's an asshole.
Something attractive about a girl in her underwear and a pair of sneakers for some reason. I don't know why that was kind of an attractive look. Like, I'm going to run down the street and I'm in my, I don't know, it was like athletic and also almost naked at the same time.
We're going to have a discussion about this later.
Not Renee Zellweger. Not her doing this, but just the general idea of that. I was like, that's not a bad outfit.
You know? Okay, I thought it was ridiculous that she did that and she couldn't just pop a pair of pants on. But maybe Mark Darcy would appreciate.
Because she's got to be some sort of, there's always comic relief with her. She's always got to be some sort of.
Well, yeah.
It's,
yeah. So she starts running. She grabs like a cardigan. She grabs like a flimsy cardigan to go run, right? She puts her tennis shoes on and she goes to go run. She chases after him for forever. Never locks her door. Never.
No.
She's always leaving the house.
It's England.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do?
What are they going to do?
Sneak in there and boil some meat?
I think they're going to sneak in there, boil up all your meat, and that's it. That's all you're going to leave.
Ha ha!
Ha ha! I crocheted you a doily, and you're like, what? Okay.
I made you some oatmeal.
No.
Stop making my oatmeal. Okay, so she finds him, and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's like, oh, it's okay. I got you a new diary so you can have a fresh start.
Yeah, that was that's why he was walking out.
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, okay. And then they just start making out.
In the snow.
In the snow, in the middle of whatever. So she's officially the my legs don't get cold guy.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, my legs don't get cold. Yeah, that's it. He wraps his coat around her, which is whatever, and that's
But what I thought was disturbing, and this is when I actually thought that he kills people, is she says, oh, wait, nice boys don't kiss like that. And he's like, yes, they fucking do.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's going to chop her up.
Oh, yeah. He was showing his true colors there.
Yeah, I was like, he is going to murder her.
That's what happened to Oatmeal Girl. Now we know.
What happened to Natasha? Don't worry about it.
Don't you fucking ask me.
That's why he doesn't smile.
No, he can't. The memories.
He can't.
The memories that haunt him. He can't smile. He's incapable.
So, yeah, they're making out in the middle of the town square or whatever, so far away from home. She has no pants on. We had a new diary, and we got a door unlocked with someone in there boiling meat and making oatmeal.
Yeah.
That's vandalism, that's, I guess, in Britain.
That's British vandalism. I made all the meats.
I really sogged up their meats.
I boiled the ham good. Just,
I overboiled their ham.
Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. So that was Bridget Jones's diary.
Yeah, it was a nightmare that I'll never get back. I'll never get that back.
That was Bridget Jones's diary. So now we're going to do the Heigl-meter.
Heigl-meter, it is. Oh, boy.
The Heigl-meter is essentially a scale of 0 to 5 Heigls.
Five being the most punishing.
Five being the most punishing. Like, oh my God, cannot believe that I had to watch this. Want to go take this pen and stab it in my eye.
Yes, yes.
I give this movie 3.5 Heigels.
3.5 Heigels.
Yeah, 3.5
Okay, what's
Heigels.
Your reasoning there? It's just a mid-range?
It's entertaining enough because she does get some... She tells Hugh Grant, I'd rather wipe Saddam Hussein's butt than work for you.
Yeah.
She gets to be sort of a cool journalist.
Yeah. So 3.5. That's worth a star and a half to you, that extra to make it from 5, to make it the most punishing, you take away a star and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to give it 4.5.
Wow.
It's close. The only thing that saves it is it was mercifully not 2 hours and 20 minutes or anything. That's the only thing that keeps it
from
being 5
Heigels. Well, I didn't even pay
attention
to how...
I think it was like 1:50, which is fine. That's standard. Still too long for this, but standard.
I don't know why they don't just make operating romantic procedures. Comedies 1.5 hours.
That would be great. But like I said, like a Love Actually that we know is like 2:15. That's the only thing that can quite achieve the 5 level. It has to be, unless it's highly punishing in another way. This is 4.5. 4, just for Zellweger's accent and the fact that she's British in this movie for some fucking reason. 4 for that. Another Heigel for just an embarrassingly terrible plot and completely missed opportunities in plot.
Yeah, they really did. Now that you brought that up, I didn't even think about that.
Book publisher. What are we doing? Put 2 and 2 together.
Well,
let's do this.
Yeah, because
so,
it even says in the description
that the
one great book that, you know, the humorous book is the one she's writing. So is she publishing it?
No, not at all.
I never once thought that she was publishing
it. That was what I thought she was
thought
doing.
I would have thought it would be
great. That's what I figured.
Yeah, that's good.
And then at the end, she was going to become like this feminist celebrity or something, or this girl that everyone's, you know, this woman that everybody can relate to.
Oh, yeah, like Heigl, when, you know, in the newspaper, because she's always a bridesmaid.
Exactly, except better, because this one has talent. She's not just a crazy person.
And it would have been perfect in true romantic comedy fashion, because there always has to be a fucking publication.
Yes.
On parade.
Absolutely.
All right, yeah, no, so, they really fucked it up.
They blew it. They screwed the pooch on this
one. You guys
one,
really so. Made love to the pooch on this
Maybe
one.
They make up for it in parts 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Absolutely not.
No? Okay.
No.
Well, what are you going to do? You know, all the great ones, they have to have 3 movies, at least 3 sequels.
Yeah.
She
Just like The Godfather.
She joins The Godfather and things of that nature, and, you know, lesser movies like Rambo.
Yeah, Rambo, exactly.
Terrible.
So, yeah. All right. So, lesson learned here is make sure that you are honest with people. Don't go for a Daniel Cleaver. If you see a fucking sociopathic man who's of the Hugh Grant variety, run.
I can't disagree.
He's going to do butt stuff.
He's going to do butt stuff and then dump you right afterwards. At least and men, if you're going to do butt stuff, keep him around for a while. That's not polite. Don't be a jerk. If you're going to violate their butt space, at least then don't be a dick about it afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
That's not polite.
That's not polite. That's not British of you. How very un-British of you, Hugh Grant. So hopefully you guys didn't have to watch this movie. We did.
Well, and if you do, I think that people should watch it.
They should. Yeah, if you really want to hate yourself for 1.5 hours, go ahead and put it on.
Yeah. So, anyway, rate and review us on iTunes.
Please.
Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you think. You can also follow us on social media. We're at You Got Heigled, YOUGOTHEIGLD on Twitter and Instagram. And P.S. I Hate This Movie on Facebook.
Yes, please do that. Rate and review. That helps us out so much. Thank you guys so much for listening
to
us.
Yeah, we've gotten a couple of really great... reviews lately. Somebody said they hate rom-coms and that this is right up their alley. So hello to you, and hopefully you hated Bridget Jones as much as we did.
Definitely. And please, the iTunes reviews mean the world to us. They're what help us out the most. So if you want to help us out, if you like the show, if we make you giggle, takes 30 seconds, sign in and give us 5 stars on iTunes and help us out. And we suffered for 1 hour and 50 minutes through Bridget Jones.
You can suffer through 30 seconds of
so
writing us.
Do that, please.
Yeah. Maybe you can just write us a review and tell us, I got Heigled.
Yeah, exactly. You Heigled me, man.
Yeah, you Heigled me big time. If you guys like James, check him out. Crime and Sports. It's another podcast where he talks about athletes who really... got in trouble with the law.
You don't have to like sports.
No.
To listen to that. It's mainly more about the true crime.
Yeah, it's more about athletes just really fucking their lives up.
Yeah, if you like Human Disaster, that would be the podcast to listen to.
Absolutely. And then he also has a new podcast that just came out.
Called A Small Town Murder. Check that out every week. We look at a small town, any town all over the world, all different small towns, and a murder that happened there, and kind of what makes the town tick and how it's connected to this murder. It's a very cool podcast, and we make fun of everything. It's a comedy. So do that. Tune in. We have a really, really good time. Please.
All right. Well, thank you, guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.